strap on the boots and scrape up the knuckles.
Oh, what a hit!
He got jacked.
This is the Big Red Rage with Calais Campbell. Presented by Santan Ford.
He's hit and thrown down by Campbell at the 40-yard line.
They can't block Calais Campbell.
Calais Campbell has been a monster.
The Rage is brought to you by Santan Ford. It's all about you. University of Phoenix, the official education partner of the Arizona Cardinals. And by Bud Light. It's the sure sign of a good time. Here we go.
It doesn't get any better than that.
Temperature rising, vision blurring, rage taking over.
From Marley Sports Grill at the Chandler Fashion Center.
Hey guys, where else would you rather be?
Here's Paul Calvisi.
Get your rear right back in the locker room.
Ron Wolfley.
How'd that feel, Mr. Fancy Pants?
And Calais Campbell.
Let's go!
Unleash the fury!
Let's hear you out there, absolutely. Because you hear that, gentlemen? That trumps the 12th man at the end of the game in Seattle. That is so much more noise than the stunned silence that we heard in Seattle at the end of that game. Am I incorrect on that, Clay? Are you kidding me?
You're 100% right.
You guys silenced that crowd.
Oh, man. It felt so good to silence them, too, because, I mean, the way we went up there last year and after the game and everybody just, I mean, they're talking trash to us and, you know, to go up there and play the way we did and get that W and the crowd was completely quiet. It was amazing.
And the guys hanging over your tunnel with all the signs, right?
Oh, yeah.
Silence those guys as well.
You didn't happen to rip somebody's sign out again, did you?
No, I decided
no, you didn't, to yeah, you didn't do that, yeah.
It is the Big Red Rage, everyone, presented by Santan Ford here at Marley's Chandler Fashion Center. And yes, the Cardinals are still basking in the glow of that win. They basically turned Seattle into Whoville there, Wolf. They went as the Grinch, and they stole Christmas away from the 12s. That's basically what they did, and the fans really had nothing to say at the very end. In fact, I think they were bewildered. They didn't know what to do at the end because they hadn't lost in 2 years.
You know, just really incredible, the effort going up there and playing that team in that venue at CenturyLink Field. It's just so difficult to go up there. And if you would have told me that we would have turned the ball over four times in that game and we were going to win that game, you know what? Look, you can play maybe the worst team in the National Football League at University of Phoenix Stadium. You could play them at home. And if you turn the ball over four times, there's a good chance you're going to get beat in that game. And to go up there and do it against Seattle in that venue, it's simply one of the most incredible games I've ever seen. One of the best football games I've ever seen as well. It had everything you could possibly want, right? I mean, it had the drama. It had incredible plays. It had the controversial plays. It had everything you could possibly want. And it must have been even better to play in it, huh, Calais?
Oh, yeah. It was sweet. You know, that's definitely one of my favorite games to play in. But, I mean, really, why I liked it so much is it kept us in the playoff picture. You know what I mean? That's really what it's about for me, is trying to get to the playoffs. And, I mean, as I respect Seattle, and they were just, a piece in the roadblock, roadblock in the way for trying to get us where we trying to go.
You know what else that game had? That game had Calais Campbell with two of the Cardinals, four sacks.
Oh, yeah.
He had four tackles. We're not even done yet. He had two tackles for losses. He had two quarterback hits. He had one of those partridge in a pear tree games. A little bit of everything out there as part of a dominating defense that held Seattle under 15 points. 7 times you guys have done that now this season.
Yeah, you know, it was a great team victory. You know, we had a great game plan. Our coaches put us in the right position, and we just went out there and executed as a team, everybody. I mean, you know, my player of the game was Jarrell Powers. You know, he played a heck of a game.
Man.
It was awesome.
He really did. Jarrell Powers out of nowhere, just making plays all over the field. Really, really has kind of shined a little bit, Paulie, I think, since he's been moved into the nickel corner. You can correct me on that, Calais.
100%.
But really think he's kind of maybe making a play on that for next year. Real possibility.
How about the depth in the secondary? I mean, even Tony Jefferson got into the act, right? All the injuries, you know? I mean, everything the Cardinals have done. Todd Bowles scheming it up again. You guys getting it done. You have a chance at 11 wins. That would be a first in Arizona Cardinals history.
Hello.
Think about that. And yes, still a shot at the playoffs. If you can get a little help from Tampa, just get a little help from Tampa going into New Orleans. The Saints are trending the wrong way. Just one more loss by New Orleans. We'll see what happens. Cardinals going against the Niners. We're going to break it all down. Your good friend and special guest is scheduled to appear tonight. The Big Red Rage presented by Santan Ford here at Marley's Chandler Fashion Center.
Floyd to the left. Fitzgerald and Roberts to the right. Palmer in shotgun. Third down and six at the Seattle 31-yard line. Snap to Palmer. Straight drop back. Going to throw a deep ball. Far side. At the goal line. It's juggled. Oh, my goodness. It's caught. It's a touchdown. Oh, my. Michael Floyd with an incredible grab. And the Cardinals have the lead.
They came after Carson Palmer on the blitz. It was picked up well by the Cardinals, had man cover on the outside, running the nine route, and Palmer put it on him, and Parnum and Bailey, Michael Floyd, once again with a circus catch.
Man, what a play, what a moment. What a call by your Cardinals radio broadcast team. Passion Wolf right there. That is an all-timer, no doubt about it. And what a win by the Cardinals to go up to Seattle. 17-10. The Big Red is red hot. They have won 7 out of 8. And we're going to talk all about it here tonight on the Big Red Rage, presented by Santan Ford of Marlies Chandler Fashion Center. Wolf needs to take a break there after that call. Okay, let him catch his breath. Calais, go ahead. Bring in your special guest, who I do believe, after his earlier appearance to start the season, ended up with a touchdown. The Big Red Rage karma, if I'm not mistaken, after his last appearance.
Yeah, man. He tells me every time he catches a pick, he's taking it to the house. You know, you know, this guy right here is definitely, you know, is the anchor of our defense. You know, we're number one against the run. Dang. And he's a big reason why. You know, Mr. Dan Williams.
Danny.
Hey. So, Dan, what, you know, give us the story of the interception, the pick six, you know, and has it grown like the big fish you caught, you know, maybe when you were a kid? Is it like a fish story? Has the tail actually grown, your own play-by-play of how it went down?
I mean, as I saw Matt, you know, go up, he batted the ball, and I just saw it in the air. And, but my first thought was, you know, we won't get too many chances to make an interception, so I better make the most of this opportunity. So, I mean, just caught it, you know, over the shoulder, you know, it was hard catch. You know, I think some of my receivers can't make that catch, so it was and then plus also it was just 2 yards away, so I was like, man, if I'm gonna score, it's gonna be my opportunity. So yeah, I just took advantage of it.
You know what, Paulie, too, when he gets to be my age, like 50 years old, Danny, you're gonna be saying it was 20 yards out.
I caught it on the 20, and there was a Dion High step with a hand behind the helmet, the elbow up, you know what I mean? That'd be, oh my gosh. How do you guys feel, by the way? Here we are going into week 17, all right. Yeah, it's got to be equal parts, Calais, exhilaration and exhaustion at the same time.
100%. You know, it's just the NFL season is a grind. Your body, you know, you try to keep it together. You take care of it. Get massages, you know, ice tubs like 3-4 times a week. You know, do whatever you can to keep your body together. But, you know, it's just it's a long grind.
What do you like when you get up on a Monday morning this time of year, Dan? Are there some groans involved?
Yeah, definitely. But, you know, it's a bigger groan when we have to come in after a loss. But, you know,
that's right.
Lately we've been getting a lot of Mondays off, so that's always a good thing. But for the most part, you know, just like Claire said, you have to get massages, you know, cold tub, you know, hot tub, stretch, you know, just try to make sure you take care of your body, you know, watch what you eat. You know, it's definitely everything plays a big part, you know, in this long season.
Danny, when I say to you Arizona 17, Seattle 10, what is the first thing that comes to mind about that game?
Honestly, the first thing that comes to mind is the first game, because I think our team got the confidence after we played them in Phoenix. Glendale. We knew that we gave up some big plays early, mm-hmm. and after that we pretty much just shut them down. You know, we made a lot of mistakes, but you know, this game we was like, you know, even if the offense do make a few mistakes, we're gonna make up for it.
Was that the mantra of Coach Bowles this week? Did he talk to you guys about that? Talk a lot about that first game?
I mean, definitely. He just told us, like, you know, we gave him, you know, 14 points early. We can't do that. You know, Seattle is a good team, and if you spot them 14 points at the beginning of the game, it's going to be hard to come back.
Mm-hmm.
And at the time, too, you know, our offense was coming together. You know, now they're gelling a whole lot better now towards the end of the season. But Coach, we knew we weren't going to leave that stadium without a win. So we definitely had the confidence. And every time, you know, Carson, you know, he threw 4 interceptions, but we just like, hey, man, you know, just get back up. We're not going to let him score. And at the end, you know, Carson made the big play for us.
Yes, he did. And so did Michael Floyd. And
yes.
You know what? You know what? You know how it does get better? Oh, you guys know this now. By
100%.
Week 17, you know how it gets better. Go ahead, Calais.
In Spanish.
Here we go. Roll it, gentlemen.
Tiene el balón Palmer. Va a lanzar por el sector de la izquierda. El bombazo a las manos de Michael Floyd. Completo el pase. ¡Gol! call Floyd.
Oh, the great Gabriel Trio. That is outstanding. And, you know, let's not forget, technically that made it 15-10. And then the Cardinals lined up for a two-point conversion and said, how do you like Rashard Mendenhall straight up the gut? How does that taste?
In the middle, up the gut. And you got to love that.
They just, you know, I'm on the sideline, and you tell me, but it felt like almost more than a football game. It felt like a pitcher's duel, you know what I mean, because the defense is slugging it out. You know, it felt like a playoff hockey game seven. Every shift had that ultimate intensity. It's sort of like a prize fight. You're waiting for that, for one side to deliver the knockout blow. That was it. You guys were just trading punches with that Seattle defense almost all game until that.
And so that, although I will say our running game, they, I mean, they ran the ball well. Our offense, I mean, their offensive line really 22-double. That's the play.
22-double.
Over and over again. And they knew it was coming. They could not stop it. You know, 4 or 5 yards, 4 or 5 yards, you know, 2, 3 yards, 6, 7 yards. You know, it was just chipping away and moving the ball. And that kept us fresh and allowed us to play great defense.
Really controlled the line of scrimmage in this game on both sides of the football. I think that is the number one takeaway that I have. I think you mentioned the fact 22-double. We ran that play almost 20 times in this game, and we ran the ball 38 times where we actually snapped the ball and handed it off to a running back, and we controlled the line of scrimmage. Marshawn Lynch marginalized in this game, 18 carries, 71 yards, under 4 yards a carry, 3.9, but still under 4 yards a carry. I mean, if you would have told me that going into this game, that we were going to control both sides of the line of scrimmage, I think that would have been a hard thing for me to really swallow. And our offensive line, to your point, did that in spades. And just a huge part of this game, Paul.
11 yards rushing in the second half by Marshawn Lynch. Did you guys make a big halftime adjustment, or was it just the intensity?
We really didn't make any adjustments. Like his first big run of the game, we were supposed to make a call that we just didn't get a line right, so that's why he broke out. And they did a few runs that they really didn't run as much early in the season. Like they only ran like the tech.
All right, and we'll pick it up from there right after this on the Big Red Rage.
Okay.
Bradford takes, fakes the run in his end zone, throws it, tip, and picked off by Dan Williams, and he scores! Touchdown, Cardinals! Matt Shaughnessy tipped it, and the biggest guy on the field, Dan Williams, got his paws on it, picked it off, and it's a touchdown!
Oh, the dumpster opened the lid, and in went the pig! Dan Williams showing those soft, buttery hands!
Oh, yeah. It is worth mentioning again, no doubt about it. Let me tell you, you can just have that as a ringtone. Okay, there, Calais. Jim Omohundro will hook you up. So if there's any embellishing by Dan in the locker room, boom, you have the audio evidence.
Yeah, I do need that because he likes to embellish a little bit.
Exactly.
You know, I come this time next year, he's going to be like, I scored like a 50-yard touchdown last year, man.
I don't know if you can embellish the importance, though, of what you guys did right before half. Dan, tell us about that goal line stand just before the half. Because, you know what, after the game, Bruce Arians told the media that he said, you know what, I knew we were going to win the game after that. After the defense held and they missed the field goal off the upright just before half, he said that's how big a critical part of the game that was.
I mean, you know, like once they got the interception toward the end of the half, you know, the first thing Lowe said is, like, they're not going to score. We're going to keep them to three. And then, you know, when they line up for the keep, we're going to block that too. So it's just, you know, that was just our mindset as a defense. And, you know, we went out there. I mean, they didn't run anything we weren't prepared for. And, you know, the rest speaks for itself.
Because you knew Seattle coming in, they weren't going to do anything exotic, right? They weren't going to try and fool you. I mean, they like to line up and say, we can beat you.
Yeah. I mean, they're going to run the ball. They only have, like, 5 runs that they do. And they're going to, you know, once they get you going, get you on your heels, then they're going to play action pass. And Russell Wilson, when he gets out to his right, he throws the ball well. I mean, he throws a great deep ball, and his receivers go and make catches. And I mean, they're a tough team to stop. I mean, they're a very good offense. But when you can contain Russell Wilson, keep it in the pocket, when you can shut down the running game, I mean, you can beat that team.
Yeah, that was the thing, too. It was Russell Wilson. The amount of analysts that were talking about Russell Wilson and the way that you guys marginalized him in this game, I think there's a real possibility that every defensive coordinator in the league is breaking this film down, even as we speak right now, because Russell Wilson looked pedestrian, and he looked pedestrian at CenturyLink Field. And, you know, was this, obviously, this was the game plan coming in, but it seemed like you guys really made an effort on the edges in particular to keep Russell Wilson in the pocket. Just my imagination, Dan?
No. Like, when you watch film, I'm like, Russell, he'll give up 10 yards just to make a big play. You know, he just drop back, and, you know, he's the most dangerous when he's outside the pocket. So, you know, game plan was like, keep him in the pocket, try to use his height against him. So, you know, just, you know, make him, you know, got a 6'8 defensive tackle. I mean, you got, you know, Doc is 6'4, so coach, like, just push those offensive linemen to his face, and let's see what he can do. So, for the most part, you know, we kept him contained. He had that one 27-yard scramble, and that was actually my fault, so I'm a little upset about that. but for the most part, you know, we executed the game plan and, you know, kind of kept him under control.
And Calais, it also seemed, too, that we played an awful lot of man cover. We played an awful lot of man cover, and it seemed like those receivers could not separate from our DBs. And yeah, that was really kind of a surprise going in, just because you got Tony Jefferson. Tony Jefferson's playing, and I thought he played really well. And talk a little bit about that performance by the secondary.
Yeah, our secondary, we played best in man. You know, I think a lot of our corners are man corners. And our system is ran, you know, it allows us to do a lot more blitzing when we could do man coverage. It really just allows us to mix up the front a little bit. But yeah, Tony Jefferson played a great game for a rookie to come in week 16.
Big time. Go ahead and applaud.
Yeah, please. Against an opponent like that and step up and play the way he did, that's awesome. And really, I think as a whole, we really had that confidence. You know, I think our DBs knew that we were going to get after the quarterback and put him on his back, get pressure on him so the balls would come out quick. And, they did what they had to do and stayed with him. And they gave us time, so allowed us to get a few sacks late in the game. And that was awesome. You know, it really was a good team win.
You know, you guys talk about the man-to-man. They came out, I'll be honest with you, and, you know, they come out in that first drive. You mentioned the 27-yard run. I'm thinking, oh, there's the halftime adjustment. Russell Wilson is now going to run the ball because the DBs, you know, the corners are going. Maybe they have the back to the quarterback. But he didn't do a lot of that the rest of the game. Were you almost surprised he didn't run a little more often? Because it seemed like, I don't know, it seemed like there were opportunities.
Yeah, I mean, there were some opportunities. But, he wants to throw the ball. He's a throwing quarterback first. He runs when he has to. And the one time where he ran in the, you know, we got the 24 yards. You know, he just in the lane. You know, he bounced around first for a little bit. You know, I thought I was gonna have him, and he made me kind of look bad, and then took off the other way, and ended up running for 24 yards, and that kind of hurt a little bit. But you know, we had a pretty good game plan, squeezing the pocket. You know, making him step up, and when he steps up, you know, he doesn't run as well. It's really when he runs to his right that really was where it really hurts.
Well, he had career low numbers. I mean, across the board, 11 of 27, only 108 yards passing. His QB rating was 49.6. They were 2 of 13 on third down. What are you guys most proud of in that defensive effort? I mean, when you look at it, what would you say, okay, this is my main takeaway from that effort against Seattle?
7-3 and outs. That was huge. 7-3 and outs. You know, that's our goal every week. Get 3 outs every drive, every series.
They say anything after the game? Do you have any back and forth? Any of the guys say anything after the game? Because a lot of players look... He just looks stuck. Anybody have any comments to you? I don't know.
I have friends on our defense. You know, Michael Bennett and Chris Clemens. Those guys just congratulated us and told us to, you know, get to the playoffs.
Hey, a reminder, with each passing touchdown this season, Wells Fargo is going to donate $500 to local public schools for the Passing Touchdown for Schools program. Wells Fargo, together we'll go far. We go on with the Big Red Rage presented by Santan Ford here at Marley's Chandler Fashion Center. Calais Campbell and Dan Williams back right after this. Shotgun snap to Wilson, steps up, gets hit. Wilson sacked by Campbell at the 5.
Oh, baby. Cover 2 man. Russell Wilson had nowhere to go with that ball.
Shotgun snap on 2nd and 10. Wilson in trouble, steps up. Wilson hit, sacked at the 17 by Calais Campbell. His second sack today.
Boy, that is just a dogged, determined Calais Campbell down on the field.
Yep, 2 of the Cardinals, 4 sacks. He now has 8 sacks on the season. That's number 2 on the Cardinals behind John Abraham. His 6th multi-sack game. It is the Big Red Rage with Calais Campbell, everyone, and special guest Dan Williams. And you know what? This is a great time for It's All About You, presented by Santan Ford. It is about you right here, right now. 'Twas the night before Pro Bowl voting. And all through the house, how does your stomach feel right now? What are you thinking? You got some anticipation going tonight?
I'm a little nervous. You know, I'm hoping I get the opportunity. You know, I mean, I've been waiting for it for a few years. And so it would be nice if it came this year.
I mean, you guys have a highly decorated, highly ranked defense right now. There better be a number of guys off this Cardinals defense named to the Pro Bowl team. Are you with me? Harumph.
I'm with you.
Kind of pandering there, Paul.
Okay. Just a little. But, Wolf, come on. You went to four Pro Bowls. It certainly helps when you have a 10-win team and a highly ranked defense, right?
Absolutely. No doubt about it. I was talking to Calais about that very thing before we started the broadcast here. It's just, you know, when you get into 10-win territory, when you get into 11-win territory, it's not right, but it's the way that it is. All of a sudden, you become much more eligible. Let's put it that way. And people are obviously more inclined to vote for you in that situation. But overall, you know, I just your thoughts, guys, on here it is. You're going into the last game of the season. You could win 11 games, and you might not get into the postseason. How do you justify that? How do you process that in your own mind?
That's going to hurt. You know, I mean, to be able to win 11 games is tough in the NFL. You know, and it's a mark of a good team. You know, a great team, a team that has a chance to win a Super Bowl. And when you win 11 games and you don't get a chance to go and compete for that Super Bowl, that's going to hurt. You know, but you know, I mean, we can't control it. You know, it's just one of those things where, you know, we do our part and let the rest take care of itself. And if we get lucky and get the chance to get in there, you know, we're going to do some damage, but, you know, if we don't get that opportunity,
boy, I'll promise you, Danny, nobody wants to see this team in the postseason right now. Yeah. Nobody.
I mean, I can definitely agree, you know, but my I guess the flip side to that, it definitely would hurt, but I feel like, you know, still going 11-5, we'll definitely send a message to the, you know, NFL and the NFC. You know, we're not the same old Cardinals. Mm-hmm. We're not going to quit. We're not going to be, you know, bottom of the totem pole. We're not going to be the 5-11. No, we expect to win divisions, and we're going to be expected to win championships here. So I just think we're going to set a new bar.
And I tell you what, that win in Seattle went a long way. I mean, that has resonated throughout the NFL, you know. And although you never know it based on the ESPN.com power rankings, are you guys aware that you actually dropped a spot in the power rankings? Seattle stayed number one, and the Cardinals actually dropped a spot. You guys were vaulted over by Indianapolis, which, oh, by the way, you beat the Colts 42-11.
Yeah. I don't understand how they configure that. The formula for that is a little messed up.
Yeah. It might be at the expense of their credibility a little bit on that power poll and the power rankings at ESPN.com at this point.
You know, it's already started, too. A lot of the talk, some of the analysts that are out there, especially on ESPN, they're already saying, okay, look out for the Arizona Cardinals in 2014, right? I mean, that is what you're hearing right now. Does any of that talk matter to you guys at all?
Well, not right now. You know, it's the fact that we're still focused on San Fran, and we know we still have a chance to get in, you know. But, you know, on Monday, if we don't get in, maybe we probably, you know, pay more attention to that. But right now, it's just, you know, get this win in San Fran. We have a great chance of getting into the postseason. So we're keeping our hopes positive and, you know, just keep positive thoughts throughout the week.
You know what else is out there is a great sideline photo of Dan Williams and his cohort at nose tackle enjoying. Go ahead, hold him up there. Yep, a little bit of Skittles.
Oh, boy.
Which is particular to Seattle because Calais explained it to us.
Yeah, Marshawn Lynch likes to enjoy Skittles after a hard fight battle when he wins, you know. And it became kind of you know, his thing, you know. So my man right here, Dan Williams, decided that, you know, he was going to mock him a little bit and have a little fun. And, oh, my God, tell me about it, Big Dan.
Man, I mean, honestly, it wasn't my idea. It was just I just got caught with the Skittles. Cause honestly, somebody passed me the bag. So it started somewhere else, but I won't say any names. But I mean, it was just the fact, like, you know, when I first saw the bag, I was like, you know, it was a few of my teammates, you know, it was like two other guys, they actually brought him to the sideline. But at the same time, I just thought that, you know, it sent a message to me that, you know, they believed that we was going to be able to come out with a win. Yeah. And it's just the fact that, you know, it was a little fun because, you know, Marshawn ate plenty of Skittles. Especially last year. So, so you know, it was cool, a little cool thing to do.
It was interesting. You notice that Alameda Ta'amu is the guy next to you, and he's also the guy that comes in and spots you.
Yeah.
And you guys share time. How has Alameda Ta'amu helped you as a player this year?
He's a young player, but just the fact that, you know, his knowledge of the game. You know, a lot of times we have two different perspectives on the game a lot of times, and, you know, we just give each other clues, you know, about what's going on in the game. Like, hey, Dan, you know, I try to do this move. It really doesn't work, so don't you do it. Or this move might work for you because it didn't work for me. So, but it's the fact that, you know, you can have some guy that we can each stay fresh and keep pounding a center or guards. And, you know, like me and him, we stay fresh throughout the whole game.
Exactly.
But, you know, it even gets to the point to where, you know, those guys try to take us out the game. You know, they get out of the base for packages, and, you know, we had to go to nickel, and, you know, Doc and Clay's get a lot more plays. But I just feel like, you know, I think it's a thing of a matter of respect for, you know, our hard work we've been putting in. You know, a lot of times we don't get the stats like, you know, other guys get, but we definitely are a big part of his defense.
Are you jealous at all that he's the fullback on heavy personnel?
Oh, no.
He's the fullback on goal line? Are you jealous at all, Danny?
Oh, no. He can have it. I mean, they don't give him the ball anyway. So I'm cool with that.
Danny just scores touchdowns. Yeah, man. Block.
Oh, wow.
Danny line up and hit the B gap going 100 miles an hour.
Yeah, give him the ball, but if you just want me to leave a blocker, I don't know about that.
You know, maybe my favorite quote of the year, I saw this in print, I didn't hear it, so you can verify it, true or false. They had you quoted as saying that with Mita now, who they listed 348, that you're the finesse nose tackle. That was your quote. That was solid.
No, actually, that was supposed to be a little side joke. He actually included it into his story, but it's cool, man.
Oh, man.
The one-man pile.
Yeah. I tell you, sideline comes alive when Mita goes in and checks in as fullback, though. Oh, boy. Guys get off the bench. They want a front row seat on that one.
Juggernaut.
Oh, yeah, no doubt about it. All right, we continue to roll on. We'll talk more about the Cardinals' big win in Seattle, what they have to do to beat San Francisco. It is the Big Red Rage presented by Santan Ford and Marley's Chandler Fashion Center. Calais Campbell, good friend and special guest Dan Williams on board. Back right after this.
Snap to Palmer. Straight drop. Looking. Rolling right now. Tucking it, trying to run, dumps the pass off. It's caught near side by Ballard at the 40, and he steps out of bounds. Got the first down. He steps out at the 44. It looked like Palmer was running all the way. As he was about to get hit, he just flipped it into the air to Ballard.
Oh, my goodness. Creeping death. Carson Palmer running to his right. Took him all day to get there and saw Jake Ballard flash down the field. What a great job of creating by Palmer.
I tell you, my rain-stained notes are accurate. That was on the touchdown drive that resulted in Michael Floyd, right there, Wolf?
Yes.
Oh, my gosh. All right, explain that to us. It is a Big Red Rage presented by Santan Ford here at Marley's Chandler Fashion Center. Calais Campbell, Dan Williams, Ron Wolfley, and Dave Pasch on the call, and you heard Metallica in the background. Tell us about the connection there, Wolf.
Well, the creeping death, it was just Carson Palmer running. I mean, first of all, he's slow to begin with, right, guys? I mean, back me up
so
on that.
So slow.
He is molasses slow out on the field. And then, of course, he's got the high ankle sprain. So he's even slower out there.
If that's possible.
And the whole creeping death, it was a description of how he was moving, basically, as he was trying to move to his right. Oh, my goodness, I've never seen a human being run that slowly. Well, actually, Kurt Warner, yes. It was Kurt Warner as well. But it was also the metaphorical death that was coming after him as he was creeping out to the side. What a great play, though. I mean, you just don't see Carson Palmer given those opportunities where he goes out and actually creates. And that's exactly what he did. And that is the one thing, guys, I will tell you as a former player, I respect greatly about Carson Palmer is his resiliency. And he's had it all season long. He goes out, he throws two picks. He throws three picks. He'll throw four picks. As a matter of fact, we won both games where he threw three or more picks in a game. We won them both. The guy comes back and makes a play when it matters most. And that tells me something about Palmer.
Yes, man. He has all the attributes of a great quarterback. I mean, he's poised, he's smart, he's tough, and he wants to win. He has that drive. And, I mean, I love playing with him. You know, he's a great teammate. And, you know what I mean? I mean, to win 11 games in the season, I mean, I know we haven't got there yet, but that's our goal. To win 11 games in the season, that's a quarterback leading you. You don't do that without a good quarterback.
Dan, what's he like in the locker room? Because I know he has a good sense of humor, just based on the number of old linemen who have been dressed up in holiday outfits.
I mean, Carson, he's a real cool guy. You know, he's very close to one of our defense linemen, Frosty Rucker. And, you know, Frost is a big jokester. So, you know, Carson's in there just joking with him. So, I mean, he's, you know, laid-back guy. You know, he always asks how you doing, you know, how's your family. And, you know, he always, you know, in the games, he comes out to the sideline, like, hey, defense, you know, yeah, get it back for me. Or, you know, I'm going to score. You know, just give me the ball one more time. I just need the ball in my hand. So, man, very confident guy. So, I mean, family man and, you know, overall just a great teammate.
just incredible to watch him again, Paulie. I can't get over it. It's just the resiliency that he continues to show, because you guys have played with many guys I know that, you know what, when things are going well, oh, man, there they are. They're grabbing the baton. Give me the baton. They want to be in front of the parade when things are going well. But, man, when things are going bad, if they're not having a big game, guess what? They're pulling up those stakes. And that is the one thing I can say about Carson Palmer. I have not seen him pull up stakes in this game. And I just respect him greatly for that. And the leadership that he has shown by coming back and playing well against all odds when he's thrown four picks to make that throw, that throw to Jake Ballard, first of all, and that critical third down to create there, and then make that throw to Michael Floyd when you absolutely had to have it. And it was the best throw of the season from Carson Palmer, in my opinion.
Huge. It was. Those throws that he made to Ballard, I mean, that's like the one of the plays you see Russell Wilson make usually. That's what makes Russell Wilson special. That's what makes him a great quarterback. And to see our quarterback go out there and do a play very similar that really was a dagger, you know, and really got the momentum going again on our side, because they had just went down and scored. So we needed to play, and that was huge.
You know, if you're one of those Seattle D linemen as a guy who makes his living, right, chasing down quarterbacks, and you didn't get to Carson on that one, oh, man, you got to be on the sideline shaking your head after that, right?
Yeah, 100%. That's funny.
By the way, the Cardinals O-line only gave up two sacks, and we know what a feeding frenzy it can become in that field. How much better is the Cardinals O-line, Calais, than, you know, the first time you played Seattle?
Oh, a whole lot better. They're playing with confidence, you know, and belief. And they know that if they block just a little bit longer, the Carson's going to make them pay. They're going to make the defense pay. And, I mean, that just allows you to be a lot better.
Harold Goodwin.
Yes.
Goody.
The coaching job there.
I'll tell you what now.
Oh. In fact, this might be a good time to unveil this. Mad Jack, who is known for his banners in the north end zone. You guys want a little sneak preview of what's going to be hanging at University of Phoenix Stadium? Mad Jack is in the audience right now. How about Bruce Arians and his staff? Go ahead, Calais. Right, read it out.
Bruce Almighty.
How about that for a little caption to the banner on
19-8 as a head coach.
Ding. It is the Big Red Rage presented by Santan Ford with Calais Campbell, Dan Williams here at Marley's Chandler Fashion Center.
It's second down and one. Atlanta at the 10 of San Francisco. A quick throw. It's inside the numbers, and it was bobbled, and it's intercepted on the deflection. It's picked up by the linebacker Bowman. The 30, the 40, chase to the 50. On the numbers, the 40, chase to the 30. A foot race to the 20. On the numbers, the 10, the 5. He dives into the end zone. It is a San Francisco touchdown. Navarro Bowman.
So after that game winning play right there, by the way, we all remember where we were. It was one of those moments. I know it's just football. I don't want to put it up there with any great events in world history. But in terms of football, where were you and what was your reaction, Calais Campbell, when that pick six occurred and turned the tide and the Niners went on to win?
Yeah, I was at my brother's house on the couch just, you know, hanging out. You know, everybody's in town for the holidays. And, you know, we were going to go Christmas shopping. I was like, let's turn on the game, see what's going on. Because, you know, San Fran, you assume it's probably going to blow them out because they're, you know, 12-point favorite, wherever they were. And then you get into it, and you see Atlanta came to play. And so I'm hyped up because I'm like, oh, wow, Atlanta, they have a chance to win this game. They get the onside kick. They drop it down to the 10-yard line. And I'm thinking, okay, all-out blitz, of course, that's what we do in the same situation. You know, Matt Ryan makes a good read, throws the ball quick on a little quick slant. And, I mean, it hit Hugh Douglas in the hands, or Harry Douglas in the hands, and just, I mean, it was a great defensive play. You know, the corner drove on it, popped the ball up, and My heart dropped.
I know.
And it hurt so bad.
I had that same pit in my stomach at the Super Bowl just before half, and James Harrison going, I know it's not nearly the same magnitude, but it sort of had that same feel, and you're like, somebody get him, somebody do something, and sure enough, he scores, and the Niners win, and then Jim Harbaugh goes on to equate it to the catch, Dwight Clark style, in the history of candlesticks. Sorry, not even close, but it was a big play. And the Niners come to town now, having clinched a playoff spot, although they still have a chance at the division title. If they get a win, and Seattle ends up with a loss. But the playoff chances hinge not only on the Cardinals on Sunday, but obviously the Saints and the Buccaneers. So you need a win. The Saints need to lose. They've lost 3 out of 4. Tampa comes in, Wolf, with a very stout defense.
Yes.
Maybe, just maybe, they can somehow pull it off in New Orleans.
I mean, I remember Tampa Bay went up to Seattle and played them in overtime. I mean, they're a good team. They have young players, a quarterback. You know, he's a rookie, so, you know, he's really, you know, I think this game's not really going to faze him. He's going to go out there and just play young and have fun and be a gunslinger.
You know, it's kind of like we were talking about before the broadcast as well, Calais. A lot of times when you're on a 4-11 team and you know you've had a bad year and it's been miserable and it's been like pulling teeth, you are energized. You are energized going into the last game of the season because you know what? We've had a miserable season and you know what? Why don't I take all of my misery and my angst out on you? And you know it's going to be over one time. You got one time, it's going to be over. The misery's going to end. And a lot of times that will generate some energy on a sideline of a team that's 4-11, you know, 5-10, whatever it may be. It's been a miserable year. A lot of times that will, and especially if the other team has got something to play for. You just kind of take it out on them.
You kind of love
your bad season. And you know, one and done, it's over.
Love playing spoiler sometimes, you know, especially a division rival. You want to play spoiler, so it's kind of huge. I think they might give us opportunity, you know. I'm hoping that they go out there and win. It's going to be tough, to, you know, I'm probably going to be scoreboard watching, you know, but hopefully they just give us opportunity and, you know, we get a chance because if we get to the playoffs, I mean, I think we really got a chance to go out and win the Super Bowl.
Yeah, Dan, I mean, you know, it's going to be tough not to scoreboard watch, right?
I mean, it depends on how our game's going. You know, my focus would be, we can't get there unless we take care of business on Sunday. So, you know, that's my first mindset.
Love
so
that.
Let's take care of business first, and then we can scoreboard watch. So hopefully that game probably, you know, I think we start at the same time, so that kind of sucks.
They moved it. They synced them up. Yep.
Yeah. Right.
Yep. Uh-huh. Yep, they synced up the games. Yep.
Purposely.
I think you got to go in there. I think your approach has got to be exactly what Danny just intimated, though. I think you got to go into that game, and you got to say, you know what, I don't care. This is a San Francisco 49ers. This is a division game. It's the last game of the year that we could be 11-5, and there's a lot from this game that I think individually you can take as a player and you can project that into 2014. I'm not a big believer collectively as a team that you can take the momentum that you had at the end of one year and transfer that over. There's just so many new faces. It's always a year-by-year proposition in the NFL. It's a separate entity season to season, but as a player, you can take that. You can take whatever goodness you're able to reap at University of Phoenix Stadium on Sunday. You can hide it in your heart and down in your soul, and it can reemerge again in 2014, and I think you guys can do that as individuals. Would you agree with that?
Yeah, 100%. You know, I mean, if we don't get in going in next year, we're going to be motivated to go out there and make sure we leave the chance next time.
I tell you, we're going to get back to your Super Bowl comment here momentarily because you were on NFL Network this morning and they asked you a very key question and you had an answer, a very honest answer that I think resonated, right, and made a few headlines. So we'll talk about that. And we're also going to get to Darnell Dockett's message that he has for the fans. Because I tell you what, for various reasons, you guys will have no problems getting up on Sunday. Not only a playoff spot potentially on the line, but, you know, like Larry Fitzgerald said, if he could only win two games all year, he'd pick both to be the Niners. That's how much he despises San Francisco.
And I feel the exact same.
There you go. All right, we'll come back to Big Red Rage. We'll roll on with Calais Campbell and Dan Williams, all brought to you by Santan Ford here at Marley's Chandler Fashion Center.
Put on all reds. Make it look like a red infested swamp in there. Just all red. Make everybody look miserable. Just look intimidating when people put on red. White is like, when people put on all white is more so like, you know, everybody friends and stuff. When you put on red, that's more of a dominant color, you know what I'm saying? So hopefully everybody put on all red, you know, put on a red dish towel, washcloth, everything. Anything you got red, bring it.
All right, unmistakable cadence and soundbite there from Darnell Dockett. 9-0, he's bringing it with that. Yes, it's going to be red on red on Sunday. Cardinals have won 8 in a row wearing the red on red combo.
So I know
there's that other Big Red this week, and he had a pretty big week himself with the sleigh and the reindeer. But you guys are the real Big Red when you guys – you like the combo yourself? I know Doc's all in favor of it. You heard it right there.
Yeah, the red on red is awesome. You know, we like mixing it up. You know, when you do something, you know, so many times in a row, get tired of it. You know, so to switch it up with the red on red, we'll be looking good, feeling good. When you feel good, you look good, you play good. It's just the way it happens.
What is it about football players in uniforms? Dan, help me out here. Because you see what I call the uniformication, right, in college football – all the crazy uniforms and uniform combos. Why is it that football players, you know, they're so into how they look? For guys who bash each other all game, they really are concerned about how they look.
Yeah, you know, for myself, I like the red uniforms because, you know, everybody say I look slimmer.
Nice.
Yeah, white makes you look good.
Don't believe it.
But I mean, honestly, you know, I say sometimes it surprises me, like, how guys are so into their uniforms. Like, they have the matching wristbands, and, you know, they want a visor for their helmet. I want the dark one, not the clear one. But, you know, I mean, honestly, being a lineman, I haven't really been into that too much. But you know, I think a lot of – but honestly, Doc is probably one on that team. He's probably the most into his shoes and socks and everything. But, I mean, he's definitely going to look good when he's out there on the field.
Yeah.
And, you know, like Clay said, you know, he look good, he play good. So, you know, I think that's their mentality when they, you know, worry about what color they're going to wear and what shoes going to match. So, we'll see.
Well, you guys have two wins this year doing the red on red. And, you know, you won 7 out of 8. You're on NFL AM this morning on NFL Network. And they asked you right here, right now, in real time, is there a team better in the NFC right now than the Arizona Cardinals? And you said what, Calais?
I think we're the best. You know, I think right now, in this moment, we're playing very confident football. We're playing together. We're motivated. And I think when we play our kind of game, nobody can beat us.
Talk to us about San Francisco and their offense. What do you see when you watch them on film?
Frank Gore is awesome.
Frank Gore.
Frank Gore is a great player.
Very similar to what you faced last week with Marshawn Lynch, correct?
100%. Yes, it is. You know, but I think that San Fran commits to the run a little bit more than anybody else does.
Yes.
They're going to run the ball 30 times, you know, and we're going to have to shut down the run.
How's the zone read look? Are they running it as often with Colin Kaepernick?
Not like they did last year.
Yeah. Right. I mean, they're not really running the zone really like last year. You know, they're really getting the ball to Frank a lot.
Yes.
They're putting Kendall Hunter in there. He's getting a few more carries. And also, Kaepernick's been throwing the ball a lot. You know, since Crabtree been back, you know, I think he had, like, his first 100-yard game last week. And, you know, been freaking up Bolden a little bit more. And, of course, you know, Vernon Davis kind of hurt his last time. So, he's been making a lot of plays for the team. So, they've been opening up their offense a little bit more than just doing the zone read.
How about that offensive line, guys? How does it grade out?
Man, those are definitely some maulers. Like, those guys were trying to get you out of there. I mean, the thing about it, their scheme, you know, they create angles to try to get guys out of there, and they create extra gaps. And, you know, Frank Gore and those guys back there, they do a great job of finding those that extra gap and, you know, making big plays. Because, you know, when you watch the Seattle, you know, San Fran game, you know, it was a close game, and Frank Gore found that they won a little crack. You know, it was a big play for the team. So, it's definitely going to be a challenge up front, and those guys are going to definitely come play. And well, my little mental note is, you know, Frank Gore is like the only 100-yard rusher we had against us this year, like by itself. So, that can't happen again.
That's the answer to my question. As Coach Bowles brought up the fact that Frank Gore 101 yards your first meeting, did he bring up the 18-play drive that they had?
Yes. Yes.
Right?
Yes, he did.
Where they essentially ran the same play, what, 8 times, guys said after the game?
I think it was like 10 times in a row, something crazy. They ran the ball over and over again, and we got something for them. You know, you got a good game plan. I can't wait to get out there and compete, baby.
Yeah. Something figured as much. I mean, you know, if Coach needs any extra motivation, you know, anybody about to lose focus during the holidays, all he has to do is bring up that first meeting, Frank Gore, and that drive in particular, no doubt about it. We'll come back. We'll wrap up this edition of the Big Red Rage, all presented by Santan Ford here at Marley's Chandler Fashion Center right after this. A reminder that guests on the show receive a fine gift from Bueller Swiss Watches, available at Paul Benzel Jewelers in Yuma and Arizona Watch and Clock in Tucson. Here we go, down the stretch in the Big Red Rage, presented by Santan Ford at Marley's Chandler Fashion Center. You know the Niners very well, Calais. Keys to the game, what is most important anytime you play SF?
Number one is stopping the run. Number two is make sure that you contain Crabtree and Vernon Davis. Those two guys are playmakers. You got to make sure you limit them. And Anquan Boateng as well. You know what I mean? Just got to put pressure on Kaepernick, get him uncomfortable in the pocket, and make him give her the ball faster than he wants to. And really, but the number one thing, beyond anything else, is stopping the run. You do that, you should have a good, decent game.
And a quick note on Anquan Boateng making his return to University of Phoenix Stadium. He's closing in on a 1,000-yard receiving season. He is a big part of their offense. We know it. They had Michael Crabtree. How about Russell Wilson versus Colin Kaepernick? What's the difference there in the quarterback stand?
I think, like, when Russell, he doesn't look to scramble first. He's a little bit more comfortable in the pocket watching film, and he's always, his eyes are always downfield. Now, I think Kaepernick, once he feel like he's about to lead the pocket, he's definitely going to commit to the run. Like, he's going to take off. So, it's more of like, with Russell, you still have the more run-pass threat, and then, you know, like, once Kaepernick get out, if his reach is gone, I think he's just going to pull down, just go ahead and run. So, that's a difference, but, you know, but they're both fast and elusive in the open field, so you definitely got to contain them.
Interesting. So, when you guys go out there and you have the other game going on, you know, this Niners game, I mean, I don't know, any sort of message that Coach Arians is trying to impart into you guys this week?
Just stay focused and do our part. You know, we can't control what else happens. We can only control what we can control, and that's winning this game. So, stay focused and handle on business.
Wolf, you expect another slugfest like we had in Seattle last week?
The same dynamics are in place for last week, no doubt about it. Hey, power first, run the ball first offense with a quarterback that can get outside and create, no doubt.
Definitely looking forward to it, no doubt about it. Game day Sunday. Special thanks, as always, to Jim Omohundro, Walt Ellis, Derek Burns, Jordan Bird. Hey, for Calais Campbell and Dan Williams, Paul Calvisi, Ron Wolf, we have a great rest of your week, everyone. We'll see you Sunday.
You've been listening to The Big Red Rage with Calais Campbell. Presented by Santan Ford. It's all about you. The Rage is brought to you by University of Phoenix, the official education partner of the Arizona Cardinals.
1, 2, 3, let's go!
And by Bud Light. It's the sure sign of a good time. Here we go.
Woo! What's up, boy? What's up, AC?
This has been an exclusive presentation of the Arizona Cardinals Football Club.